Hello everyone, welcome to All Things Relationship Podcast, a one-stop solution for all your relationship queries and questions. Here you will find everything from people's stories, experts on panel, and some great knowledge that can help you make love real and perfect. So, let's jump right in.
Our today's guest, Mrs. Parul Agrawal, is one of the leading business growth strategists. She's an engineer by education and an entrepreneur by passion. She's an international best-selling author, TEDx speaker, and Forbes Coaches Council member. She is the founder of ParulAgrawal.com, a cutting-edge business consulting platform which serves professionals seeking to reinvent themselves and leave a legacy. They offer turnkey business solutions from idea to branding, from concept to success. They publish best-selling authors, grow your tribe, and help you become an expert authority in the field, building your platform and empowering your leadership with the right mindset, know-how, and technology. So, let's dive in into today's episode.
Welcome to All Things Relationship Podcast, Parul. How are you doing today?
I'm doing wonderful. Thank you so much for having me. How are you?
I'm doing great. Having quite candid evening over here.
Oh, that's amazing.
So, shall we start with what was your childhood experience like?
Yeah, of course. You know, absolutely. So my childhood was... I think all childhoods are beautiful, right? So my childhood was beautiful too. So I grew up in this small town. You might know Roorkee,
yeah.
Right?
IIT.
Exactly, IIT. So you can imagine. So I grew up like literally having that IIT in front of me all the while, because not only... Roorkee obviously has IIT, but my grandmother, she started one of the very first schools in the town. So wow. She used to teach like one of the very first Hindi medium and English medium school. So normally it would be like English medium convent schools or army schools, but this one was started, I think, you know, maybe in the late 50s or 60s. And this was Hindi medium and English medium school. So most of the people from my father's generation actually went to this school. So I grew up essentially in a very educated family. Ingrained in culture, ingrained in studies was a big part of my upbringing.
You are having every scholar person nearby. So you do get motivated about studying every now and then.
Yes, you know, that's absolutely true, because everybody from my family is highly educated. And then my town is also, you know, every second person is an engineer. So it definitely, I think, makes a huge impact on the way you think, the way you manage your life. Absolutely, yes.
So with that, how was it regarding boys in your school life?
Oh, I went to a completely girls school. Okay, so a girls missionary school. So I would say till I passed out 12th and entered college, my interaction with boys was very minimal, just limited to the boys in my family, like my cousins, maybe one or two neighbors. Also, because we had the school, it was in one of the most busy streets in my town. So we didn't even had too many neighbors, actually. So there were only like two or three neighbors. My communication was very, very limited. And I think in hindsight, that really helped probably to just focus on my goals, my life, and my career.
Could be in hindsight, as you say.
Yeah.
Well, so what was your perspective back then about having male friends or even having a boyfriend? Was that even a thought?
I would say no, actually. That was not really a thought, because... Or maybe it was, because Bollywood movies have such a big influence on everybody. And right now things have changed. But I grew up in the 90s, right? So all we had was Shah Rukh Khan and Salman Khan and Kajol movies, and all of them are romantic movies. So obviously, I mean, growing up, I think every girl or every boy dreams of having that relationship. But at the same time, I personally have been always very grounded and practical in my approach. And I knew right from the very beginning that I have to build something out of my life. Okay. If you look at me, okay. So I'm not like the most beautiful person out there. I'm not the, the girl who will enter into the party and everybody will start looking at that girl. So at least I thought that way about myself, okay? And my perspective actually changed after I came to US. But growing up in that small town, when you're only told about studies, that was my whole perspective. And I knew that I have to shine if I have to really shine in my life through my studies and my career. That was my whole idea, if that makes sense, or concept of living.
Yeah, it's like having a goal and going all in for it. Nothing else matters.
Exactly. Yes.
So, how did things pan out from there after you completed your 12th from All Girls Institute?
So after my 12th from All Girls College, I moved to Bombay, okay, to pursue my engineering. So that was a big change. It was a big cultural shock because here you are, living in such an isolated or such a, I wouldn't say isolated, but such a close-knit family. And then all of a sudden, in a small town where everybody practically knows everybody. And because my grandmother has the school, my father has a very good business, everybody in the town anyway knew us, right? So here I am. In this small town where everybody knows us, and now I've entered Bombay, the city where you are just like a tiny speck and you feel lost. I was also living away from my family for the very first time in this big town. I was obviously in a hostel, in a dorm. I went there to pursue my engineering studies. So a lot of changes. And here, in my small town in Roorkee, it's not that people were not forward. They were. I mean, I think because of the education, we are one of the most forward town, but also very cultural. And here I go to Bombay, and all the girls have a completely different mindset, and all the girls are wearing shorts and skirts. And I'm like, oh my gosh, did I really anticipate all this? And while growing up, when I had seen Bombay in the movies, I had seen these big cities, big hoardings, limelight, and stuff like that. But when I go into this hostel, it was not bad. But obviously, we had power issues and water issues. I mean, you would know, right? How people would live in a hostel. And I'm like, oh my gosh, is this the kind of life I actually anticipated? And I felt like really lost. I mean, I could not have a meaningful conversation with anybody because I have this intellectual bent of mind, right? And as you mentioned, I grew up. I went to a missionary girls' school. So talks about boys and boyfriends was not a part of my whole upbringing because I never grew in that sense. And here I am where everybody's talking about boys. I felt completely lost. I thought, I will not be able to survive this kind of an environment.
Wow, it was that overwhelming.
It was. Normally, I tell my people that moving from Roorkee to Bombay was a bigger cultural shock for me compared to moving from Bombay to United States.
Wow, that much. That's
I would
impressive.
think so, yeah.
For you, how did things pan out from there after your engineering? Did you move to US right after your college engineering?
Yeah, I was working for some time. So I was working in Bombay for some time, and then I moved back to Delhi, and then I was working in Delhi for some time. But going back to my Bombay life, because of that cultural shock and because I was not able to fit into that environment, I failed in the first year of engineering. Okay. So now here I am, like this intellectual girl who is always like top of the class, who I had no sense of what failure was till 12th. Okay. I probably one time scored less marks in a chemistry subject in my school. And that was like my biggest failure in life till 12th. And here I am moving to engineering degree. And now I'm realizing that I cannot move to second year. So that was like the biggest failure of my life till that point.
It's devastating.
Yes, it was, you know, I thought at that point, you know, I was not meant for engineering. I should never have left my town. You know, I just don't have the brains to be an engineer. And all these kind of negative thoughts came to my mind. But the only thought that did not come to my mind was not to give up. I mean, you know, like I never thought that, okay, you know, I should leave engineering and pursue something else. I wanted to actually make it irrespective of all the failures. So I was okay, like having a year down. I was okay, you know, sitting, waiting to finish all my exams, but I was not willing to drop out of the program, no matter how difficult it would be moving forward. But that was probably, you can say, like a transitionary phase, because obviously it was such a big change for me. Everything was different. Studies were also very difficult. I wouldn't say studies were not that difficult. But eventually, like after that little hump in my studies, I did graduate with good grades and flying colors. So then after working, I got married. I had an arranged marriage. I think after about almost 1 year, I was working, and then I had an arranged marriage. I moved to US after I got married.
Wow. So having an arranged marriage is that to what people usually go for because they grew up in an isolated environment, or is it because of some other reasons?
I wouldn't say that. I was living in Bombay. I mean, you know, before I got married, for 5 years, I was living in Bombay and hardly would go back home because, you know, sometimes it was study, sometimes it was internship, something or the other was always there, right? So,
yeah.
I mean, I was living by myself. The first year was a little bit difficult, but for the next 4 years, I was, you know, really shining in my life, in my career, everywhere, right? I had association with men. I had association with boys. I mean, I had all the options, but I chose to have an arranged marriage and go by what my parents would think is best for me rather than what I would think was better for me. And I had this clear mindset that, very clear thinking that going to Bombay, pursuing my engineering degree was my decision. I actually, my parents were a little bit hesitant, you know, how will this lady or this girl, because I was an introvert, a shy kind of a child, right? How will this person survive in such an environment? And when I failed, everybody in my family was like, hey, you know, maybe you should come back. Maybe you could pursue some degree here. You know, IIT is right in your backyard. You can sit down, reappear for the exams and everything. But I'm like, no, I would rather respect my decision of coming here and finish it. So I wanted my parents to take that decision for me when it comes to marriage. It was not because of force. That was my choice.
Does the way you were brought up play a considerable role in this, your initial years where you formed your opinion about various factors?
Yeah, that was a big reason. Definitely, that was a big reason. You know, again, I grew up in a joint family. Mm-hmm. We had always seen, like, you know, the elderly members of the family taking decisions for the young ones, whether it doesn't really mean children, but, you know, even like my parents, because my grandparents were the senior most people. So, you know, we grew up with this mutual respect for decisions of the elderly, right? So mm-hmm. I would think that obviously that had a big impact on me. I knew like, this is the way I have to do it. And still today, I mean, I'm 40 years old. I live in US and I still always seek advice of my parents, and so does my husband. That coming to US, staying in this country for the last 16 years has not changed that mindset that, yeah, we are more independent and we don't really need our parents to make those decisions for us. But we do. I mean, 2 years back, we moved to India for 1 year for my husband's job, and we involved our parents into that decision because it was an important decision for our entire families, like, both families. So I think how you grow up in your primary years, I would say it in your teenagers, does definitely has a big impact on your thinking, not only, immediately after teenage years, but through life.
Okay, that's, yeah, that makes a lot of sense, because that is how your foundation is set, so as to
True,
begin with.
true. Yes, true.
Okay.
And I think, what happens, what I have realized, I'm not sure how old are you. Maybe you will realize this once you are over 30 or something. But what I have realized is there is this phase, when we are teenagers, when we are in our 20s, where we automatically become a rebel, where we think like whatever our parents are saying is incorrect or wrong. I mean, like from that teenager kind of when we start. My son is almost 10, and I can see he's turning into he's one of the best childs anybody could ask for. Very obedient, very diligent in his work and everything. But I can see like how he's becoming a rebel day by day. So once you are into that teenage group till maybe 20, 25, or even 30, you are into that. A rebel kind of a phase that, hey, because my mom said this, I have to say something else. If she says east, I have to say west. Okay. But after 30, you have this switch turn on, and then you realize, oh, yeah, what my parents told me makes sense. We think that our parents are like, older generation. We are the Gen Zs and the Gen Ys and the millennials. So we would know better. But then, values, culture, the way that we have been brought up for generations, that doesn't change, right? You can move from 3G to 5G or even 6G, but the main values of human kindness, integrity, the way you should lead your life, they will not change no matter what. Maybe you might tweak it. You might not write a letter. You might talk to your parents on WhatsApp, but at least, the feelings and emotions do not change no matter how much we advance technologically, right? This is what my understanding is. And so we always go back to those ideas and those principles. Absolutely.
So, having that strong base of principles is one of the most important things to begin with.
Having principles is good, definitely. But at the same time, we should not be, as they say in Hindi, cutter. We should not be really cutter about those principles, right? My father always says that we need to change with changing times. So let's say I had this arranged marriage, I was happy with it. But if my son brings a girlfriend, will I say, hey, no, you cannot bring a girlfriend. You have to go through an arranged marriage because I had one? No, right? I mean, we would respect his decision because he is definitely a new generation child. And but respect his decision, of course. I mean, with certain principles that probably, we have ingrained in his system and will stay with him for long. Like, okay, once you finish your studies, once you are credible enough, then only have a girlfriend. Do not have a girlfriend in fourth grade, because right now some of his friends have girlfriends actually. So, so I'm like, okay, you can have a girl. So the conversations that our parents probably had with us when we were 13, 14, 15, now we have to have it with our children when they're 8, 9, and 10, right? So
Wow.
So I'm like, okay, I have to ask him, do you have a girlfriend? And I'm like, no, please, you know, I don't even want to talk about that. What are you talking about? I'm like, okay, great, okay, you know, so like, well, I'm just asking, I'm open to it, but you know, it's good that we have to share this. So I mean, they say that once such your child is a certain age, you're their friend and not really their parent after 13 or so. But right now, I feel that parent-friend kind of role keeps shifting even at a very young age because you never know, you know.
Yeah, like at
So.
10, okay, that's so okay, how do you see relationships?
I think the way I see relationships is. And not just like a partner kind of a relationship, but any relationship is based on that mutual trust and understanding and having that faith, right? I mean, be it a business relationship or a relationship with a friend, maybe like a girlfriend or a boyfriend, whatever. But as long as you have this undying faith that this person is not going to bash you or defame you or say something behind your back and will respect you, you might have completely 180 degrees different opinions, right? You might talk, right now it's election time in US, and that's why I'm giving this example. You might like Trump and I might like Obama, you know, they are from different parties. However, the important thing is that irrespective of your likings or dislikings, you are respecting each other's opinions and decisions, you know, and still able to have that meaningful conversations without, you know, getting into arguments.
You know, that's something a lot of people are not able to do right now, even from where I see it. See, I am about to turn 23 and I also moved to Mumbai, so I'm seeing a lot of different variety of people, if I may say. And yes, being able to have a discussion without letting it turn into an argument is still many a times a dream with some people.
It is, it is.
Okay, so what do you think is the reason relationships are deteriorating nowadays?
Lots of reasons. One of the reasons is media and the subliminal programming. Hollywood and Bollywood are the biggest reasons, essentially. I honestly think it's a lot to do with the kind of movies and the kind of media that is being shown to us these days. Okay. I mean, if you are seeing these movies where relationships are not being respected, again, you know, you have that kind of programming in your mind. And you think that this is the norm, essentially, right? So that's one of the main reasons because, especially when we are growing up, media has a big influence on our lives. Also, I would think when people were growing up, like in the old ages, we had these joint families, right? So
Yeah.
if something, if a child would do something, the children were never left alone by themselves, you know, there was always somebody to take care of the young people, you know. If the parents were not available, there were grandparents. If the grandparents were not there, there was some house help. Somebody was always there, so children felt safe and secure. Okay, and now with the nuclear families and most of the parents, you know, mom and dad working most of the time, children grow up really not learning so much about values of family and all these relationships, you know. Time is of essence when it comes to relationships, right? So you cannot tell a child or you cannot tell a 23-year-old that you need to give time to your relationship to make it work, because you at 23 have already grown and already have a set mindset. It's how you grew up, essentially, you know. So children or kids or teenagers learn from actions rather than words. So if they grew up in an environment that valued relationships, that valued, you know, human feelings, then they will take this to the next level, right? They will move forward with this kind of understanding. But if they grew up looking at relationships from a very casual point of view, then that is what they will be ingrained in their system even when they grow up. That is what my understanding is. And maybe it's because I'm a mom and I would think that my relationship is steady and stable because I have been married for the 16 years almost with my husband. But I always think about the future generation, how we can improve them and their relationships, because we are done, we have been there, done that, but now it's their future. I think lots of reasons, lots of factors, if I talk about it will be another show. But one of the reasons is also the kind of food that we eat. I'm also a certified health coach. So, you know, I look at how food affects our relationships. If we eat a lot of genetically modified food, okay, if you're looking at a lot of food that has pesticides and chemicals in it, then what happens, you know, it messes up our hormonal system.
Okay. What do you think is the reason relationships are not sustaining right now?
I think it's the time. Even if two people are together, the phone is the third person, right?
True.
So, you know, what does a relationship demand? We demand like time and respect and love. But if you are sitting with your girlfriend and you're busy with your phone and your friend calls you, then she would not feel respected. And then obviously, she would, you know, end up breaking the relationship, because all at the end, everybody requires that time from a real person, not from a phone or device or media. I mean, if anybody could dive into devices. But so I think that is what is most important right now. And as far as sustainability of a relationship, a lot of things change, you know. It's time of instant gratification these days, right? I mean, you find something and people want to be gratified immediately with it. And what happens when you are not getting that kind of, I wouldn't say gratification in a relationship, but yes, I mean, that kind of excitement in a relationship or that kind of, you know, adventure that you thought you should, it's very easy to break out and find another person. Right. And then because see what happens, a relationship might be adventurous or exciting for the first few years or for the first few months. And once life sinks in, it becomes very normal, right? It's a normal day-to-day life. But if you start looking, if people start looking for that adventure on a regular basis, then it becomes a little bit difficult to maintain that relationship. So now they're out of this relationship, then they enter into another relationship and they will see adventure and excitement in the new relationship for some time. But once again, everything settles down when It's also hormonal, actually. So when you are in love for the very first time, you have all these cortisol levels increasing and the oxytocin increasing. And, you know, you feel good about things. You know, it's like when you eat a chocolate for the first time, you feel good about it. But if you keep overdoing on the chocolate, then, you know, it's kind of affects your system and you feel pukish, right? Same thing happens with relationships, I would say. You know, for the first few months, you have this oxytocin release in your body and all these chemicals and you feel good about it. It's called the happy hormone. But if you do not have that excitement, you feel that the other person has stopped loving you, because I mean, oxytocin can also increase to only a certain level, right? So, because, you know, people start getting back to life, calm here, you know, you have hundreds of things in the daily life. So then on a bigger scale, then the understanding comes in, which I think is most important for any relationship.
Yeah, and maybe people are not giving time building the understanding part of it.
Right. They jump into a relationship, you know, they operate from their root chakra and not their heart chakra. Okay. If you start operating from your heart chakra, then you are not looking at that person as a physical being, but as a soul and a spiritual being. And then, you know, you will be able to sustain that relationship longer.
Yeah. And so, as you mentioned that relationships changed a lot since your parents' time to yours, like your parents were almost certain they'll go for an arranged marriage. For yours, it was a choice. And for your children, you are pretty sure it will be a love marriage. So, what has changed over time apart from this? This is just one step in the entire cycle. What has actually changed in the foundation or in the background? Is it good?
Yeah, I think good. What has changed? I know during my mom's time, let's say, right? Starting from there, women hardly used to go out. Okay, they would go to colleges, which were also like women colleges, even if they were studying, right? So where was their interaction with men? Hardly enough. In my time, women started working and going out in the workforce. You know, there was more interaction between men and women because of colleges being co-educational, because of workplace obviously being co-educational. I have never seen a workplace which says women only, hiring women only. I mean, you know, until and unless it's a job specific for the women or specific for the men, right? Mm-hmm. So interaction increased, right? So now men and women were able to meet each other more. And that's why their circle expanded, right? Initially, their circle was so limited, so they had no idea what to look at. Now their circle increased. And now for the next generation, it's more about, you know, not only their circle is limited to your school, college, or workplace, but also on the internet. You know, they can Tinder. I mean, like, I had not heard about Tinder when I got married. Now everybody's on Tinder. All my friends are like, hey, I found this person on Tinder. I'm like, seriously? And their relationships are sustainable. Or I found this person on Facebook. Somebody got married on internet because they couldn't meet each other on in person because of the coronavirus. So you see, so the priest came and they did all that they had to do via internet. So, you know, things are changing, world is changing, right? So now we have, the entire world is your canvas. I mean, I'm sitting here and I could actually meet a person in Germany or France, even though I do not have to travel to Germany or France to meet that person. So, you know, your circle is expanding, and that's why there is more probability of meeting a person. Right. And parents are also becoming more open-minded, because we know that, you know, initially when we grew up, our parents would think, hey, isko kuch akal nahi hai, you know, they are not good enough to take their own decisions. We will be taking the decisions for them. Mm-hmm. Now I see more and more parents are more open-minded and they let their children take their decisions for themselves right from a very young age. Okay, earlier हमारे parents ने हमें बोल दिया कि swimming जाना है तो जाना है, dance class जाना है तो जाना है. You know,
yeah.
It was like okay, because my father or mother said so. We really had no, and in my grandparents' day, it was even one step further. My grandmother, one of the most educated lady during her times, she was a master's in English or something, and having this wow. huge. Business, one of the top schools in my town, you know, running the school for almost like 30 years till she passed away. And till her death, she had no courage to speak to her father. She used to tell ki mujhe apne papa se bahut dar lagta hai, main nahi baat karungi. We were more comfortable talking to my grandmother's father, but we never saw her talking. So, you know, wow. not even a word, you know. In fact, and I'm like, I mean, she is one of the most entrepreneurial women. I mean, and during her time, she took her entire school to meet Indira Gandhi, because Indira Gandhi was the president, prime minister of the country. So she's like, okay, let's go and meet Indira Gandhi. And she would like, you know, matlab ek ungli pe unke sab pura ghar chalta tha. And she was like, too scared to talk to her father, own father. And here I am, like my daughter, she's 3, and she would like, you know, command my husband, like, do this, that, do this, you know, you have to do this, you have to listen to me. So, you know, I think this it doesn't mean that, you know, my grandmother loved her father less than what my daughter loves. It's just that the dynamics of relationships is changing. You know, love is still the same, but it's just that, okay, maybe initially people were more scared to be open to their parents. Now people are more open to their parents, and they are more like friends right from a very beginning stages.
Yeah, that's something I would say I've observed too. Well, I have seen it, but I didn't even pay as much attention, maybe because I thought it's only that I've seen one or two instances. Could be a lot of things out there, but yes. Apparently this is something that spans across the board.
I think so, yes. I think this is pretty common, yes.
Yeah. So, okay. And like, yeah, this is something people, because nowadays people are like, okay, give me a solution. I don't want to work for it. Give me a solution. And this,
nothing comes easy, my friend. You know, people want exactly. instant gratification these days, and that's the problem.
So true. Okay. There's one question I've been meaning to ask is, if there's one thing that you could have done differently in your relationship or even in your entire life, like differently, what would it be?
I would think that if I would have to do something differently, it would be, maybe spend more time with my parents when I was with them. Now it's very difficult to take time back. Of course, we have, we talk. I mean, and I think this is something that I realized this year, because every year I go to India in May, but this year I couldn't because borders were shut down. So this was the first time in the last 16 years of my life since I moved to US that I did not go to India. And then I realized, you know, it was so important to spend the time when we are with the person or when we are with the people, because even when I go to India, I keep working because my business is online. We can take it anywhere. I'm an entrepreneurial woman. We do not get breaks. It's not like I can tell my boss, hey, boss, I'm not working for 3 weeks and take a break. You know, I'm always working, honestly speaking. So work mode, you know, I plan my launches. Like when I went to India last year, I planned a big launch of the Growth Hacking Book #1. During all that time, you know, because I'm busy, I am not able to give my 100% to my parents, my in-laws. And I feel that that should not be the case because when we are with them, we should definitely give 100%. Even if, you know, I'm not doing anything, just sitting by the couch and watching TV together, or sitting by the couch and, you know, they might be reading their book, I might be reading my book. But at least that sense, you know, that aura that we are together, makes a huge difference. So I think that would be the only thing that I would regret. But otherwise, hopefully I've been a good daughter, good daughter-in-law, you know, hopefully, you know, who knows?
Well, yeah, we can try our best. That's exactly. All we have in hand.
Exactly. Yes. Yes.
So the last question I would bug you with is, if there's one advice that you would like to give your 20-year-old self, what would it be?
Yeah, that's a very great question. You know, I would say do not plan life too much. You know, when we are 18, 20, we have this lifelong plan till 100 years, you know. I'll get married at 30, at 40, I'll be the CEO, at 50, I'll retire, at 60, you know, I'll go and travel the world, or maybe vice versa, you know, I'll travel the world and then settle down and then have kids and blah, blah. So, you know, let life flow, because you never know. I mean, you do not even know what you're going to eat for your dinner tomorrow. How can you plan your life for the next 60, 100 years, right? So, we are talking right now. It's morning for me. I'll go and have my breakfast, but I don't know what I'm going to eat for my breakfast. I'll open my fridge and whatever is there, I'll eat it probably, you know, whatever is quick and easy based on my next meeting. So I think, you know, if we plan life too much, then we miss the moments of being in the moment, you know. Short-term goals, if you're doing a project, yes, but live every moment to the fullest.
That is something almost everyone can apply even. And you have that experience of knowing that, okay, if I planned one thing and second thing happened, I missed out on the fun of second thing, maybe even a bit, because I was in regret of what didn't happen.
Absolutely. And look at my life. You know, I have 2 master's degrees in engineering. I'm a certified health coach. I have like too many degrees. You know, if I start talking, it will be another episode. Okay. So too many certifications, too many degrees. Some of them are also hanging up here. So anyway, but the point is, you know, I never look at myself as that degree. Okay. I had that degree as an engineer. I should work as an engineer. I just let life happen to me. Okay. How does it matter if I was an engineer? Right now, what I'm doing, I'm enjoying it and I'm happy. I look forward to each day and I'm earning money. So that's most important at the end of the day is my happiness.
Thanks
no
for
problem.
Sharing.
It was a pleasure.
Yeah, I hope I was able to, you know, do justice with your time.
Yes, absolutely. I loved, enjoy talking with you. Thank you, Nishant. Good luck with your podcast.
Bye-bye.